Well, if you would please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. We'll begin looking at a text this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I'll take this moment to express my gratitude for the opportunity to be gone last week to preach in a meeting in Kansas City. Many of you know Tom and Pat Kinzel, who held a meeting out here for us, and they send their regards to you. I appreciate Tim filling in my class while classes while I was gone, and Greg and Walt for filling in preaching. It's always good, you know, when you come back and you hear folks brag about the guys that preached while you were gone. You certainly glad for that and glad that circumstance exists, but it does give you kind of a sense of your own expendability, you know. But we're very blessed here to have men who have capabilities like that and are willing to use it. And that doesn't happen just by accident. Men develop those abilities, and they then have to have the willingness to use those abilities. Well, I want to talk to you about this this morning for a few moments, about some reasons to preach the Word. If you ever, which I know many of you did not, but if you grew up like I did, having a father who preached, and then when you have the occasions to preach, it's not uncommon for dads who preach to say to their sons who preached, like the Apostle Paul says to Timothy here in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, preach the Word. Just, you know, urging their sons to be true to that responsibility and fulfill that obligation that they have. Not just to preach. I mean, when you get right down to it, you can get up and you can talk about any number of things. And quite frankly, that would be satisfactory to a lot of people. There are many individuals that can get up and give a good talk about any number of topics and subjects, and if you mix in a few good stories here and there, well, that's enough to please. But what the Apostle Paul says in writing to this young man Timothy, who was in many ways like a son to him, he wanted them to understand that he had an obligation greater than that, that he needed not just to make talks and tell good stories, but he needed to be someone who was devoted to preaching the Word and making sure that the subject upon which he focused his attention was God's Word. And in this verse, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, we see the admonition then, preach the Word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. Basically, Paul gives Timothy two things in that one verse. He gives him the time to preach, and he gives him the tone in which to preach. The time is any time. The time is when it's in season and when it's out of season. If something is in season, it's in favor. If something is out of season, it's not in favor. Paul's statement to Timothy was, you preach the Word when it's in favor, when it's not in favor. When people want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it. You let that be the subject of your proclamations. And then the tone in which he was to preach the Word was with exhortation. It was with reproof. It was with rebuke. It was acknowledging the fact that there are different circumstances which require different approaches. It's good to exhort. It's good to encourage. It's good to offer and needful to offer the positive kinds of encouragements that brethren need to hear from God's Word. And God's Word is replete with those kinds of exhortations. But also reproof and rebuke is needed. Now, those are not always favorable sorts of things to hear. And by the way, it's not particularly an enjoyable thing to be speaking either. But nonetheless, those that are going to preach the Word will have to preach its exhortations as well as its rebukes and its reproofs. But now it must be done, he says, with patience, always with great patience and instruction. Well, based on that mandate, the Apostle Paul, in the context of this verse, has something to say to Timothy about some reasons why he ought to preach the word. And I'd like for us to focus our attention this morning upon that. I hope it will be a good lesson of reminder to me of what I should do and why I should do it. I hope it will be a good reminder for those like the men I mentioned here a moment ago, who from time to time have the opportunity to get up here and to offer lessons. You need to preach the word, and you need to preach it for these same reasons that Paul gave to Timothy, why he should preach it. I hope it'll be a good lesson by way of reminder to those who listen. You know, we not only need sermons from time to time about what to preach and how to preach, we need sermons from time to time about what to listen to and how to listen to it, and why listen to it. Lots of times, I'm afraid, the audience loses focus, just like the speaker can lose focus of what they ought to be looking for, expecting, and yes, even insisting upon. So, why preach the word? Why insist upon the word to be preached? Why anticipate that that's what you're going to be listening to? Let me suggest to you that the first thing that Paul says in this context is that he ought to preach the word because of the danger of the seasons. Go back up to the third chapter and the beginning of chapter 3, where Paul says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come." He wanted Timothy to realize that there were going to be difficult times. And he identifies when those times were going to come. He says it's in the last days. A lot of times you'll hear perhaps people talk about the last days saying, well, now, you know, the signs all indicate we're in the last days. The last days, they must be coming because there was an earthquake over here and there was a war that erupted over there. And all of the signs indicate the last days are almost upon us. Let me tell you something. The last days have been on us for as long as Jesus was here. Ever since Jesus was here has been the last days. Many verses of Scripture speak to that fact. Hebrews chapter 1 is one that comes to my mind oftentimes, where the Hebrew writer begins by saying that in times past, God had spoken to the fathers, that is to our forebears, God had spoken to the fathers by the prophets in different portions and in different manners. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. The last days have existed since Jesus' time upon this earth. So you are already living in the last times, in the last days. And what Paul wanted Timothy to understand was that these would be difficult days. They would be difficult because of the people that would populate the last days. Listen to what he goes on to say in the following couple of verses. He says, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." What Paul says to Timothy is, Timothy, you're going to need to understand that you're going to be living in days of difficulty because of the kind of people that will populate those days. They're difficult times. Did you notice the absence of virtue and character? By the way, we're coming upon a political season, and you can just put it down that you're going to hear a lot about values. It happens about every 4 years, doesn't it? Well, every couple of years. This is an off election. Well, 2012, we'll have another big election, and we'll be hearing about values. We've got family values, and everybody talks about that. Let me tell you something. Everybody has values. The mafia has values. What a lot of people don't have is virtue. And that's what Paul is saying is absent among the people of the time that he's warning Timothy about. It is virtue of character that's missing among these folks. And because of that, the days will be difficult days. Did you notice the subtlety of the difficulty that Paul describes? You know, it's not always obvious. It's not always on the surface, the kinds of dangers that we will confront. Many times they're so subtle. They seem to offer not really much danger. But that's precisely what Paul wants Timothy to be alert to. That these kinds of characteristics among people makes the times dangerous. Can you see our own day and time in some of those things that we've just read? Well, we live in a dangerous season as well. And so, why preach the word? Why does he come on down to chapter 4 and verse 2 and say, well, now preach the word? Well, it's because of the nature of the seasons in which Timothy was going to live. But not only is it because of the danger of the seasons, it's also because the devotion of the saints. You ought to preach the word, Timothy, because of those that have preached it before you. You preach the word with a remembrance and a respect for those that you have learned that word from. Look in verse 10, if you would. He says, now you followed my teaching. You get that? He says, Timothy, you followed my teaching. That is, you listened to it. You heard it. You paid attention. Are you? You see, this is as much about preaching and hearing. You followed my teaching, Timothy. Conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Timothy, you know who I am. You know what happened to me. You know what I've taught and what I've preached. Timothy, you preach the word because you learned it from me and you saw the consistency of my life with what I preached. Drop down to verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Who had he learned these things from? Well, obviously he had learned them from Paul. We know as well of the influence that his mother and his grandmother had upon him in the beginning verses of this letter. Paul acknowledges that there was a sincere faith in Timothy that he had learned from his mother and his grandmother. Now, the point that I want to make to you is this. What Paul is telling Timothy is, Timothy, you have respect for what you have been taught beforehand by others. If it's the truth, then you ought to respect it. You know, I'm persuaded that a lot of times the reason that people go off away from the Scriptures is because they lose respect or have no respect for those that have taught them the Scriptures in the past. If the Scriptures is what this person, the parent, had taught or preachers or elders that they grew up under, you know, if that's what these folks were teaching, then I want nothing of it because I have no respect for them. Reminds me of the preacher who was preaching in an old country church and finished preaching one day, and you know, preacher stood in the back like he's supposed to and told everybody goodbye, and everybody had kind of dispersed except one fellow, and he just kept kind of hanging around, wasn't going anywhere. Preacher didn't know why he wasn't leaving, and so he finally went over and said to the guy, well, why don't we just, you know, go on? There was only one road to go down. He said, why don't we just go ahead and go? And so the guy kind of hesitatingly went. They started down the road. They got down the road a piece, and the fellow stopped, and he just obviously was delaying and wanting the preacher not to be there. And the preacher came up to him. He said, finally said, what's the matter? And the guy said, well, preacher, just to be honest with you, I got to tell you, I've got a jug hidden over here in the woods that I always stop and take a sip from. And preacher said, well, okay. And the guy said, well, he said, preacher, if I thought you'd accept it, I'd invite you to come have some with me. And the preacher said, well, if I didn't think you'd lose all respect for me, I'd join you. Preacher said, the other fellow said, that's okay, preacher. I ain't got no respect for you. Well, that's precisely what happens a lot of times in the lives of people. They have no respect for the parents and for preachers or for elders or for Bible class teachers or for good men and women that they have been in the presence of for years as they've grown up. And they've seen the kinds of things that these people taught and what they stood for, and they've had no respect for those people. And as a result, they say, I'll go my own way. You want to know the reason for preaching the word? Younger generation of folks, this is the only thing in this lesson I'm going to say to you. So, that I'm going to pointedly say to you, I guess I should say. There is a time coming when you will have to step out on the track, take the baton, and run your lap in life. There is a time coming when it will be your time to be the people who are Bible class teachers, elders and deacons and preachers and those who comprise a congregation. What will you preach? What is it that you will teach? What is it that you will expect to be heard? What is it that you will insist upon hearing? May I urge you, out of respect for those who have exerted influence over your life as you've been growing up, if they've been holding up the Bible as the standard by which they strive to live, if that's what you've been hearing them teach, then by all means, preach that word as well, because of the danger of the seasons that you will live in and because of the devotion toward the saints that you've seen. But now there's a third thing that Paul says, and it's because of the dynamic of the Scriptures that the word ought to be preached. Chapter 3 and verse 15, he says further about Timothy, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. From childhood, he had been exposed to the Scriptures. Those would be the Old Testament Scriptures that Timothy had been raised up, familiar with. But nonetheless, Scriptures that pointed to the Christ. You remember Paul's own statement to the Galatian Christians when he talked about the Old Testament Scriptures serving, as it were, like a tutor, like a schoolmaster who brings us to Christ. The Old Testament points to Jesus. And what Paul says about Timothy in his upbringing and the influence that the Scriptures had had upon that upbringing is that you learned them, you became familiar with them, you know that these Scriptures are that which bring you to salvation in Christ. Now, we have the finished revelation of God's Word. The things that Paul and the other apostles and prophets of the New Testament, those things that they taught orally, have been recorded. They've been written down. You and I have them. We have them in our laps. My question to you is just this. Will we, because of our appreciation for the dynamics of the Scriptures. That is the power of them. Is that what we will be determined to preach? Is that what we will insist upon being taught? It's Paul who said in Romans 1 and verse 16, that familiar passage, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. It is the Scriptures that have the power to save us. It was Jesus who said to His Father in prayer regarding His disciples, sanctify them in Thy truth, Thy word is truth. It is the Scriptures that have the power to sanctify us. Now my question to you is this. What else then would you teach? What else then would you want to hear preached and taught? What else then would you recommend to your friends? What else then would you want to sit down and talk with them about the most? It is beyond me. Why? But some people want to sit down and talk about the World Cup. Go figure. I don't get it. Some people want to sit down and talk about baseball. Some want to talk about football. Some want to talk about golf. I remember one time hearing the story of an old preacher who finished preaching his lesson. And he was in a meeting somewhere, and there was this kindly, elderly lady standing off to the side. Everybody else was visiting, as we often do after our services. And the preacher went over to talk with her because she was all alone, and he said, Sister, what do you want to talk about? And she says, well, I'd like to talk about the Bible. And he said, well, now that group over there, they're talking about the ball game last night. And that group back there, they're talking about lunch and where they're going to go to lunch. And this group over here, well, they're all family and they're talking about the most recent gossip in the family. Is that the way it is with us? Is it so that we don't have the time to talk about Scripture, about the teachings of Scripture? What else do you want to share with your friends above that? I'm not telling you there's something wrong with you or there's something wrong about talking about the World Cup or golf or football or baseball or family or where to go to lunch. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. My question to you is this. Do we appreciate what Paul is saying to us through what he said to Timothy about preach the word? Do we fail to talk about that which is the most important thing to discuss? I ask again, what else is it that we want to talk about? A fourth thing that he says regarding reasons to preach the word is because of the demand of the sovereign. It's the demand of God. Chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. It is the divine sovereign's demand that be our topic. Now, gentlemen, when you do have the occasion to get up here and preach, or you do have the opportunity to stand before a class and teach, or you do have the invitation to offer on a Wednesday night service, remember, we're here to talk about the Word. It is the Word that ought to be preached and taught. It is the Word that ought to be used to issue the invitation. That's why we're here. And we have a solemn charge from God to make that the subject of our discussions. One time a fellow was asked, a preacher was asked, well, who do you prepare your sermons for? You know, do you prepare them for the young people? Or do you prepare them for the husbands and the aunt? Do you prepare your sermons for the wives. You know, that really has more to do with the subject. Why do you pick a particular subject? This preacher, of course, understood that. And when the person asked, who do you prepare your sermons for? His answer was, God. I prepare my sermons for God. Because God is the one who has issued the charge, preach the word. And the final thing that Paul says to Timothy regarding reasons to preach is because of the deceptiveness of the sensual age in which he lived. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. I told you, this is a lesson as much about what to preach and how to preach as it is about what to listen to and how to listen. And what Paul tells Timothy is that during the dangerous seasons in which you preach, there will come a time when people will not want to listen to sound doctrine. Sound means healthy. It means wholesome. And there will come a time when they won't want to listen to sound doctrine. He didn't say there will come a time when they won't want to listen to doctrine. People are always willing to listen to doctrine. They're always willing to listen to teaching. That's what doctrine is. It's teaching. The point is what we are teaching and what people are willing to be taught. He says, Timothy, the time is coming in these dangerous seasons when people will not want to hear sound doctrine. They'll want to have their ears tickled. There'll be things that they want to hear. And you know what will happen? If there are things you want to hear, you'll find somebody who'll be willing to say it. If you want to hear it, and if there's enough of you who want to hear it, you can find somebody who will be willing to say it. And that's exactly what Paul tells Timothy. There'll be folks who will want to have their ears tickled with what they want to hear. And they'll turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myth. Where do you have your ears turned? That's an awfully important question. In what direction are your ears turned? Are they turned to God and toward the sound doctrine of God, toward the truth of God, toward the word that Paul preached, that Timothy after him preached, that Timothy passed on to men? We read in the letters of Paul to Timothy, Timothy passed these things on to men who were able to teach others, and it was just handed down from one to another to another. Are those the things that you have your ears turned to hear? Or are you having your ears tickled? Well, if you have ears turned to God, you can learn something that will make it possible for you to be right with God, have a home in heaven, promised to you by God, if you're willing to hear sound doctrine, to be exhorted, to be rebuked, to be reproved. If you're willing to have that kind of instruction, then you have a home in heaven promised to you by God if you will heed the doctrine as it is proclaimed. If you're not a Christian, the way to become a Christian has been explained in the doctrines of Jesus Christ. He told men and women that they must believe that He is God's Son, and in their belief that they must turn from their sins, repent of them, and by confessing their faith in Him and being baptized, they would be forgiven of their sins. And living a life committed to that doctrine that is found in God's Word, they can have the confidence of a home in heaven with God at the conclusion of a life faithfully lived, complying with God's Word? Are you subject to His invitation to that great promise? If you are, then won't you come in obedience while we stand and sing?